Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Daily Friend Wrap. I'm your host, Nicholas Lorimer, today joined by Chris Hutton. Let's get into the news of today, and we are still on coalition watch to see what the various negotiations behind the scenes are deciding the future look of our government is going to be. Well, one of the more interesting rumors to have come out in media reporting over the last 24 hours is that the ANC is thinking about adding a second deputy president. This would mean that once again, just like back in the 1994 period, South Africa would have two deputy presidents. The current idea, according to the reporting from, I think it was News 24, is that the IFP president, Vilenkosini Hlabisa, will be made deputy president alongside Paul Mashatile, who is the current deputy president from the ANC. And then there's also discussions, apparently, that the DA will take the speakership. Now, it's difficult to confirm all of these things. The IFP, of course, has not been particularly helpful by saying that this is not something they put on the table. So we don't actually know if it's true. But it is something interesting to think about. One of the concerns raised by some people online has been that this would require some kind of constitutional amendment, because the constitution, on a sort of cursory glance, seems to suggest that there's only one deputy president. But, you know, I'll leave that for the lawyers to debate. There's also some discussions about the ANC talking about reducing the size of cabinet to about either 24 or 26 members. Now, this is, I think, in kind of totality, a pretty interesting set of developments, because it suggests to me that the level of patronage available to the senior levels of the ANC, particularly through ministries, is going to be significantly reduced by this, any kind of deal that looks like this, if one ends up getting signed. And all I can say is that that is probably going to make life quite difficult for President Ramaphosa when he next has to face an ANC elective conference. Chris, what do you make of all these developments?
And just on your last point, not to give too many proposals or ideas, but you could, I guess, consolidate a few positions into one and then still keep lots of patronage. So you don't have as many individuals, but you still keep all the sort of avenues open. And never underestimate the ANC and their ability to extend control over state resources into the private sector, et cetera, et cetera. But I think you're right to highlight the potential that this will cause continued fractions, tensions within the ANC and indeed within the broader alliance. I wonder, we've talked quite a bit about MK, why it was so successful in these elections, but I don't know if there's been much analysis of concerns around access to patronage and resources, specifically in KZN. And if, you know, the perception is that Ramaphosa, those closer to him, have pushed this drive of reform, capacitating the National Prosecuting Authority. If you're worried about losing access to those tenders, to those resources, then maybe you go for a party that's going to really upend everything and you can sort of benefit from the chaos. So don't discount how these things play into each other. On the two deputy presidents idea, I'm not strongly in favor or strongly against it necessarily, but I do worry that it tries to just short circuit difficult decisions and look like it's inclusive and giving everyone power and a say, whereas you should be focusing on, I know it's more difficult and it's a very tight timeline imposed now by the Chief Justice, I think correctly so, but to make those difficult decisions around...
The Chief Justice has said that the first sitting of Parliament where the election of the President will take place is this Friday, the 14th of June. So we are very, very little... there's very little time left to actually sort out all the details of these agreements.
Yeah, so I just think it maybe it tries to short-circuit things around confidence and supply, making sure that you've got separation in terms of who gets the executive, legislative, those kinds of decisions that over the long term I think would be the best of all options, but right now are difficult to make. And again, in the maelstrom of the current moment, ANC dropping 17 percentage points from 2019, I mean, it's a sort of deer in the headlights moment for the party. It's trying, I think, to scramble all around to get whatever it can in terms of maybe playing for time a little bit.
That fact alone is going to make it very difficult for Ramaphosa to hold on to control of the party. I mean, there's two ways the party could look at it. They could say, we would have been completely finished without Ramaphosa. And another is to say, he's you know, his antagonizing of the wrong faction of the ANC is what gave us MK, and therefore it's his fault entirely. So he's going to have one hell of a political fight, and we can already see the tensions in the ANC boiling over about some of this. I think it was I can't remember his exact position, but he was a senior member of the ANC in the Eastern Cape, said that he was resigning from the party because he didn't want to be a part of a party that made a deal with the DA. And apparently he was talked out of this after an intense meeting with Gwede Mantashe, the ANC's chairperson. So all of this is still very uncertain. So far, it looks like the DA has decided to continue backing internally negotiations for coalition here. But yeah, it's a little bit difficult, I think, for us as political analysts to truly say whether, you know, this is a good development or a bad development, because we don't know what the details of any sort of deal are. We'll have to see what comes out into the public in the next couple of days. But considering how short the deadline is, I'm sure we're going to know very soon what our country's government is going to look like. So one of the things I think that's going to happen over the next term of parliament, the next 5 years, is that we're going to have, shall we say, a very rambunctious parliament, with no party able to secure a majority of the votes, because no one has 50% of the seats in parliament. Essentially, every single vote in parliament is going to be a negotiation, and any one party deciding not to back a piece of legislation can possibly collapse the entire thing. So it's in that context, the power of the speaker to discipline members and to throw members out is, I think, quite important. And there's been an interesting legal development in that realm, where the Western Cape High Court has just ruled on an application brought by the EFF about their eviction from Parliament during the State of the Nation addresses in 2015 and 2017, when during attempts to disrupt those State of the Nation addresses, EFF MPs were quite dramatically and violently thrown out of Parliament by the sort of ominous, infamous white shirts in Parliament. And the Western Cape High Court has ruled that actually Parliament was within its rights to have thrown them out, which is an interesting development, because in my mind, it seems to suggest that the Speaker of Parliament is going to be more empowered to do that kind of thing going forward, which might be very helpful to the Speaker if the Parliament is indeed as fractious and crazy as I expect it to be. Chris, what are your thoughts on this?
I mean, it's easy to go strongly agree with this and say, yes, you know, the EFF, some of the tactics they use, that sort of thing should not in any way be accepted, which I agree with the general sentiment, but it depends on how it's meted out. And then also in terms of how the judgment was, how it was reached, sort of the logic of argument and conclusion, et cetera, et cetera. So if it was just one or two EFF members, representatives, then maybe it makes it stronger, the sort of thing. So it's a stronger precedent if just those individuals were thrown out, not the whole, it's a sort of, I guess, guilt by association idea. I mean, I'm not in that difficult position of the speaker. So when it's that disruptive and it just goes on and on and on, then it becomes very tough. But
on one hand, you know, the speaker definitely needs to be able to discipline members and throw them out if they are completely preventing parliament from doing anything. But you also can't have armies of burly guys coming to parliament and dragging MPs away. This is not a you know, it's very easy to fall down a slippery slope here, I think.
Yeah, and the more fractious it becomes, as I think you're correct to highlight, in the next few years, if not permanently, as I don't think there'll ever be a party will have a majority in the National Assembly ever again. When there's more contestation, smaller parties benefit from when they're more disruptive, when they are more radical, when they do tend to upset day-to-day operations and things, because you try and get attention of your base, but also of other potential voters for the next local government elections and the next national elections.
So one of the interesting wild cards in our next parliament is going to be the MK party. Of course, they've never been in parliament before, so we don't know entirely how they're going to play out this whole sitting in parliament thing. And so far, their current strategy appears to be to not play the game at all. The MK party, or at least the Zuma faction of the MK party, has suggested that it is not going to take up its seats in parliament. And even further than that, it's gone on to claim that parliament will not be able to constitute itself legally, because if it has a minimum size of 350 MPs and MK has 58 MPs, which means that there won't be 350 MPs. Now, as far as I understand, when it comes to the law on this, there's absolutely no ability of MK here to actually block Parliament. Those seats belong to their party. Whether they show up to do the work of being an MP, whether they go show up to do take the oath of being an MP, and simply not attending Parliament won't actually make a difference. In fact, I think probably for the party, it's a bit of a strategic blunder, because I suspect that it will get them less attention and limelight than they otherwise would have. That being said, they can always change their mind and come back to Parliament. And we've also still got the founder of the MK party, Jabulani Khumalo, saying that he will be taking up his seat in Parliament and attending the first session. So who knows what will happen on the day. It could be quite dramatic. But Chris, do you agree with my assessment? Do you think MK not showing up to Parliament is going to hurt the party or help the party?
Look, for Zuma and MK, if one of your big items on which you run is disrupting the status quo and being the rebellious entity, then by attending these sorts of events, you almost give your sanction to the normal constitutional processes. So it does, I think, benefit you, especially for your more core constituency, if one could call it that, if you then continue to disrupt things, if you don't allow the normal bounds of the constitution, governance, that to bind you. You know, if you're concerned about vote rigging, then don't legitimize it. If you're concerned about the basis of the constitution, don't go to the constitutional court to appeal these things. Then you're again recognizing the entities that flow from the constitution. So I think short term, it's better for MK, you know, not good for the country, of course, and for the National Assembly, but it's better for MK maybe to continue to act outside the bounds of these things, to really be that revolutionary force that an entity like the EFF promised to be, but they still then participated in your normal democratic process. One thing around MK to highlight, in one of the court cases, the papers, MK here referred to as the applicant. Although the applicant is in possession of a large and growing body of evidence to support the above-mentioned instances of material irregularities and or vote rigging, no useful purpose will be served, including such information herein at this stage. So in terms of not participating, not producing that hard evidence around alleged vote rigging, you just shift the goalpost the whole time. You don't have to worry about producing actual evidence because you're the disruptor. So like Zuma mentioned on the Saturday before the election results were announced, don't pressure us. It'll be to your detriment. We're working on it. We'll produce the evidence. But it's to MK's benefit to continue playing this narrative point, I think.
Yeah, I must say it is not a comfortable feeling to know that the third largest party in Parliament is one that is explicitly anti-constitutional, as MK has made very clear that it is. Now, the EFF can also be charged, I think, with being an anti-constitutional party, but they've been far more subtle about how they've played it. You know, sometimes saying they love the Constitution, sometimes denouncing it, kind of, you know, shifting gears on that one constantly. But with MK, there's no ambiguity, there's no gray area. They are just entirely against the Constitution, and that is not good for our society, because our Constitution, I think, has been a very positive force in South Africa, and seeing it weakened will probably weaken the entire South African state and make the lives of South Africans worse. Anyway, a lot still going on in politics this week, and I'm very interested to see what the final developments will be as we hit the election of the president on Friday. Depending on when the vote is, we may even delay our show then to be able to talk about it after it's happened. Anyway, I hope that you found this show interesting. That's a wrap for today. The Daily Friend Show and The Daily Friend are a project of the Institute of Race Relations, the IRR. The IRR is a think tank which was founded in 1929 to study race relations in South Africa and works to change government policy to improve race relations through non-racialism and to ensure the prosperity all South Africans. If you like our work and would like to support us, please go to irr.org.za and click Support the IRR, or you can go to thedailyfriend.co.za and click the Fund Us button.